Welcome back to the Fit-ish Project with your host, Lathan Bass. As always, we got another episode coming at you this week. Back to another Q&A episode. So getting some questions from you guys out there. Always enjoy doing these. Just to give a little bit more context on these questions, because I know if I'm seeing these questions often or hearing them from people I know, usually that means multiple people have a similar question. So we will get into this episode. Just want to take a quick moment to say, those people who have left a review, I really appreciate that. I've seen a couple more coming in. So that just helps to get this show out to more people and get this information to people who need it. So appreciate that. So getting into this episode, we have, I think, six questions total for this one. Some of those topics include what to do if you're looking to lose 10 to 15 pounds before summer, what to do about low motivation. That seems to be a common question that I keep getting. And losing belly fat, is it possible or not? And a couple other things. So getting into question number one, this was a question that I had recently gotten. Somebody had asked, how do you stay motivated? I feel like I struggle with motivation to work out because of all the other things I have going on, like work, family, errands, bills, chores, etc. I just don't feel like I have the motivation to work out. So to be completely honest with you, for me personally, I do not always stay motivated. I think understanding that and just having that expectation that you are not always going to be motivating is super helpful, because sometimes it's easy to look at social media or look at certain people and you see them like working out all the time, or, you know, getting after it in the gym, or even going after other goals. And it just seems like they're always motivated and they're always, you know, into it and they're always engaged and they want to be there. And that's just not the truth. I can tell you from personal experience from myself, as well as other people who I know really enjoy like working out, enjoy fitness, enjoy health, that they are not always motivated. It's probably a good one to two times at least per week where I don't necessarily feel like, you know, working out or, you know, going on a walk or doing cardio or getting my steps in or things like that. But you just understand that if you have goals for yourself, if you know that you're going to feel better afterwards, if you know that all these things are going to make a positive impact on you, then you just find a way to get going. And I think that's important to realize too, that it's always going to be a little bit tougher in the beginning, like building those habits, creating those systems to get yourself up and moving and get yourself set up in the right direction. But once you start doing these things, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, you start to really build those habits and ingrain those systems within your life, it becomes a lot easier and you don't necessarily have to rely on that motivation, you know, because for myself and for people who have been working out for years, it's not really about motivation anymore. It's just like something that you do. So even when you don't feel motivated, it just feels like a daily habit. It just feels like something that needs to be part of your day. And if you don't do it, you feel kind of weird or you feel kind of off. But I think when it comes to fitness, especially, a lot of people who are getting into it, they expect that they're going to be super motivated, because you probably will be pretty motivated at first. Most people are. But that motivation will quickly drop off because you realize that some days it's difficult. Some days you have a lot of things going on. Like in this instance, like some days you're just feeling a little off and you don't want to be there. So just understanding that it's going to be a little bit harder in the beginning. Like, you got to grit through it a little bit. You got to work on it to build up those habits, build up those systems. So then it becomes not such a tough task every single day. But if you can kind of break through and get to that other side, the whole motivation thing starts to take care of itself a little bit. And then the last thing I'll say is, I've mentioned this on other podcasts before and something I talked about on social media, but using the 5-minute rule. And I don't know why this works so well, but this is something that I do. Even in just like with other things in my life, like whether it's like putting away dishes or putting away laundry or just doing things that I don't necessarily want to do, you just tell yourself you're going to do the first 5 minutes. After the first 5 minutes, if you want to quit, if you want to stop, if you want to be done for that day, then you can be done. But the funny thing is that once you get going and you get those 5 minutes in, you almost never stop. So that goes for workouts too. It's a really good thing to do. So just don't think about the entire, you know, 45-minute, hour-long workout, the 30-minute run. Just think about the first 5 minutes. If you can get through the first 5 minutes and get going, there's a good chance that you are going to have no issues completing that workout or completing that run, because oftentimes the hardest part is just getting started. But once you have a little bit of momentum on your side, it makes getting through that much easier. And then, you know, the other side of it is once you actually finish that workout, that run, you know, that task that you needed to get done, you always feel better afterwards. There's very few times where you finish and you're like, man, I'm really disappointed that I did that workout when I didn't want to, because you know it's going to make you feel better mentally, physically. You know you're doing something good for your body and for your future. So think about that as well. So those are just some practical things or some viewpoints around motivation that hopefully can help you out a little bit. Question number two, is it possible to lose belly fat in a month? So this is something that I hear quite often, and people kind of have like this obsession with like losing belly fat. And I was listening to another fitness podcast recently, and they were talking about people wanting to lose belly fat is one of the most common things that people will search on Google. So like, how do I lose belly fat? Well, yes, it is possible to obviously lose belly fat. It's extremely difficult to like specifically target your belly fat. So what I mean by that is when you lose fat, you have to be in a calorie deficit, which means you're eating less than you are taking in through food and drink, and that will cause your body to burn fat. So you lose weight, you burn fat, all good stuff. But you can't necessarily pick and choose where that fat is coming from off your body. And a lot of that will have to do with just genetics. Typically, like you'll notice if you look at like a male versus a female, a lot of men will hold more weight or more body fat in their upper body, you know, like in their stomach or on their sides, like maybe on their back a little bit. And then females are typically the opposite, where they'll hold a little bit more weight in their lower body, like in their butt and their hips, things like that. And then like if you put both of those people in a calorie deficit or on a diet in order to lose some fat, you'll probably notice that they lose fat from different areas at different times. So it's not exactly possible to specifically target that belly fat, but obviously some things that you can do is just be in an overall diet to help you lose that overall fat. And unfortunately, like for some people, that might be the last place that you really lose fat. But if you are lifting weights, eating in a calorie deficit, you're going to start to see your body change in different ways and change for the better. So understand, yes, it's obviously possible to lose fat, but no, it's not really possible to target where that fat is coming from. But if you're in a calorie deficit, if you're exercising regularly, you're going to lose some weight, you're going to lose some fat, and you're going to start to see better progress over time. Question number three, I feel like I've been dieting, but not really seeing the progress I expected. Any thoughts on what's going on? So yes, this is also another common thing that I hear, and pretty much every single person that I work with who has a goal of weight loss, they have this same idea, the same thought, the same complaint sometimes. It's like, I feel like I'm really doing like well with dieting, but I'm not really seeing the progress that I expected. And a lot of times, first off, you have to understand like your expectations around weight loss, probably pretty skewed just because of the things that you see on social media and just in the media in general. Like you see people talking about like, you know, lose 20 pounds in 30 days, or you see these drastic transformations in like 90 days, but that stuff doesn't really last. And a lot of times it's not even accurate. So thinking that you're going to have this drastic weight loss, like in this short amount of time, just isn't really realistic. And especially if you're somebody who actually wants to keep those results and sustain those results, it's really not realistic. Because like, yeah, I could get you to lose 20 pounds in a month, but like you're going to gain it all right back and you're not going to look great. So the goal should be to, you know, lose a small amount of weight over a longer period of time. That way you can actually keep the weight off. But back to the original question, after you kind of have your expectations set, which basically is like losing 1 to 2 pounds per week is pretty standard for most people. Like that's a pretty realistic standard of weight loss. But once you understand that, you know, it's going to be a little bit slower. Then you have to go back, okay, like I'm dieting, but I'm not really seeing the progress that I expected. So like what's actually going on? And a lot of people are quick to blame things like their hormones, or they think their metabolism is slow, or they think it's because they have bad genetics. And while yes, there are cases where like your hormones might be affecting losing weight, or your metabolism might be slowed like very, very slightly, depending on if you have like certain health conditions. For a huge majority, like I'm talking like 90%+ of people, this is not you. Like you are not that person who has these issues. A lot of times it is just you're not in a calorie deficit. So you feel like you're dieting, you feel like you're in a calorie deficit, but you're actually eating too many calories. And sometimes you're doing this knowingly, like maybe you're just not being super honest with yourself and you're like dieting, but you're eating more food and you're just kind of ignoring that and not really thinking about it. but most people are eating too much unknowingly. And to give you some examples, like liquid calories, they add up super quickly. Like if you're somebody who is drinking alcohol multiple nights a week, that can add up. If you're somebody who drinks pop, like, or drinks coffees or like high sugar type things like smoothies or juices or things like that, all those liquid calories can add up super, super quick. Another common thing that people don't really think about is like sauces or condiments, cooking oils, things like that. You know, if you're having, you know, a pretty healthy lunch, you could easily go and add an extra 150, 200 calories of barbecue sauce or ketchup or something like that without even thinking much about it. Snacking is another one where people don't necessarily realize how much they're actually snacking. Like maybe they're having a couple bites here or something. They're having a little snack in between meals, and those calories all kind of add up. And then another really big one that people don't really realize, and this is probably where a majority of people struggle, is the weekend calories. So like you do really well Monday through Friday. You feel like you've done a super good job. And then on Saturday and Sunday, you just kind of go overboard too much. And so you really have to find a good balance in where you can maybe enjoy yourself a little bit more. And this is where I like things like flexible dieting or calorie cycling, where you can eat a little bit more on the weekends, keep it a little bit more tight during the week, and still be able to be in a calorie deficit and hit your goals. But if you're not like in tune with those things, if you don't have those strategies in place, it's really, really easy to overeat on the weekends if you are trying to actually lose weight. And to give you like an example, like this is what, you know, a day could look like where maybe you feel like you're dieting, but then you have been in this calorie deficit, but you're not really seeing the results you want. So like just little things throughout the day that come up. So for example, let's say you're somebody who drinks coffee. Well, in the morning you have some sugar and you have some cream in your coffee. That could be an extra 75 to 100 calories right there without really thinking about it. Let's say you have some extra sauce on your lunch. Like I said, maybe you had some ketchup or some barbecue sauce with your lunch. That could be an easy extra 100 to 150 calories right there. Let's say you grab like a quick snack, maybe a handful of nuts between one of your meals because you're a little bit hungry. That's an extra 200 calories. Maybe you grab, you know, you go past your break room at your job, go in and there's some little candies there. So you grab a couple of those. That's another extra 100 calories. Maybe your kid doesn't finish all their food off their plate, or maybe your spouse, your partner has a little extra. So you eat a couple bites of that. And then maybe to end the night, like let's say you want a little bit of ice cream, no problem. But what you think is one serving is actually like 2.5 servings. And there goes an extra 300, 400 calories. So when you start to add up all those little things throughout the day and then throughout the week, you look back and then you're not actually eating less calories. You're still eating in maintenance. So you're not in a calorie deficit, which is why you're not seeing that fat loss, or at least not seeing it as fast as you want. So you know, it's kind of can be frustrating, but you know, some of the things that you need to do is try to be a little bit more mindful about those things that you are doing and just be really honest with yourself about how much food you're actually eating, which is why I always encourage people to count calories for at least a small period of time. Because when you're counting calories and you're putting all those things like in an app and really tracking and like seeing how much you eat, you'll be shocked at how many calories you are actually eating, how much food you're consuming, what a serving size actually looks like. Like if you don't believe me, just go weigh out a serving size of peanut butter. Like you'll be shocked and you'll be a little bit sad. So like a lot of times we think we're only eating one serving. We're eating like two or three, or we don't think we're having this many calories, but then you add up all those little things throughout the day and we're having too much, which again, isn't typically a huge issue if you're not trying to lose weight. But if you're trying to lose weight, then you really need to try to dial it in a little bit more, and then you can see those results that you are after. So being more mindful, counting calories, both those things can be helpful. And then just understanding, like, if you're not seeing the progress that you want after like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you're probably not in a calorie deficit. So some signs that you're actually in a calorie deficit, so that you know if you're trending in the right direction, is you should be a little bit hungry at times. Like if you're losing weight, your body is going to send you some of those hunger cues. So having a little bit of hunger from day to day, time to time, is actually a good sign that you are probably in a calorie deficit. So if you're never hungry and you never feel like it's a little bit of a struggle while you're dieting, that probably means that you're not in a calorie deficit. Also, just tracking things like progress. Obviously, the scale is something that you can use, and you want to see that trending downwards over time, especially if you have a lot of weight to lose. Like, you definitely should be seeing that scale trend down. If you're somebody who is maybe on the back end of maybe you only have like 5 to 10 pounds to lose, that scale might not move nearly as quickly. And then that's where using things like progress picks and know, if your clothes are fitting better, it can be a good gauge of whether you're making the progress that you really want to be making. So long-winded answer for that one, but the bottom line comes down to, if you're not seeing the progress that you want, you know, maybe it's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you're really not seeing the progress, you're not seeing improvements in your progress pictures, you're not seeing inches come off, you're not seeing the scale trend down in the right direction, then it's probably because you are eating too many calories. So you can start to rein that in a little bit, start to dial it in and be a little bit more controlled with those calories. And then the other thing you could do is get a little bit more active, because that also helps to burn a few extra calories as well. But hopefully that was helpful, give you some practical tips with that there. Question number four, I think. What are your thoughts on completely removing certain foods from your diet if you struggle with overeating them? For example, I really struggle with overeating junk food anytime it's in the house. So I'm wondering if getting rid of it completely is a good strategy. So there's two main routes that I would suggest, and you really have to pick which one is going to be better for you. I mean, if you follow me on social media, you know that I'm all about moderation, and I like to help people find balance so that they don't necessarily have to cut out all these things. But there can be another side to this, because I have worked with people in the past, or even talked to people in the past, who said, like, when they have these certain foods around, they literally just feel like they have no control over it. Like, they just can't have these things in the house, or they can't eat these things, or they just completely go off the hinges, which, like, I think over time you could probably fix those things, but it might be a little bit longer type of solution there. Because for me, for example, like, I know I used to just smash certain foods and I could eat a crap ton and not really even think much about it. But now I'm in a much different place where, like, I don't feel that same urge to just down a bunch of food all the time and just overeat and, like, don't feel like I have that control over myself. So obviously I've been working on it for a long time, and it's been years, and now I feel like I have a really good relationship with that, and I don't necessarily have to keep those things out of the house. But if you do want a little bit more, like, short-term solution, like, taking a break from some of that stuff isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world. I know that it works for some people, like, just keeping that stuff out of the house and just keeping it unavailable can be a big help in not overeating those things. And then maybe you go through a period of time where you don't have that stuff in the house for a couple months, and then you feel like you can introduce it back in when you're feeling better and more in control and you have a little bit better relationship with food, and then you can have those things in the house again. But if you don't want to go that route, obviously, like I said, there is the moderation route, which there's some things that you can do to help you on that front as well. So, like, if you do maybe want to still keep some of this stuff in the house and you don't necessarily want to get rid of these foods altogether, some simple tips that you can do is, like, buy single serving type foods. So a lot of people don't have this issue when it comes to just, like, eating whole foods. It's typically more the processed foods. And if you're eating these processed foods, which, like, I don't recommend you eat a ton of those, but I always talk about the 80-20 rule. And, you know, if you want to have some of those things in moderation, buy these things in single serving packages. So, like, let's say, for example, that you really like having chips. Well, don't buy a huge family bag of Doritos. Buy the single serving bags, because then you know, okay, I have one of those little things, and then I know when that's done, then I'm done with it. Versus, like, if I go on a family Dorito bag, I know personally I could crush half that bag, no issues, without even thinking twice about it. But if I have to go in and grab four or five of those little bags, I'm going to stop for a second and be like, okay, like, I'm definitely going a little overboard with this. Like, I probably don't need five bags of these little chips. Same thing for, like, other types of little desserts or things like that. So a lot of the foods that are very easy to overeat, or, like, the junk food, as they said in this question, you can buy those things in single serving size packages. And that makes it just super easy to know when you're done and help you from overeating a lot of those things. Along with that, like, if it is maybe not like a processed food and it's just like something that you don't want to eat a ton of, let's say you're having like some pasta and you just don't want to go crazy on pasta, because, you know, when you have those carbs in pasta, you have like a big, it's just super easy for you to overeat it. Well, make sure you put that like in a bowl or a plate, sit down, no distractions, and actually think about what you're doing. So you're not watching TV, you're not listening to a podcast or talking on the phone or doing other things. You're just simply sitting there, you're being mindful, you're being present, and you're eating. You'll be surprised at how much that makes a difference, because a lot of us, myself included, when we eat now, we eat with distractions. And when you're eating with distractions, you're not focused on what you're actually doing. It's much easier to overeat. And there's studies that prove this, that when people are distracted, they just naturally eat more. So you're not paying attention to those fullness cues, whether or not you're actually still hungry, how much you still want to eat. So limit the distractions and just be a little bit more mindful. Sit down and be present with the food that you're actually eating, and that can help to develop that more moderate approach and get you to a place where you do have a much better relationship with food. Because like I said, me personally, I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle. And obviously it has been a journey to get there. When I was 300 pounds, I could crush food like it was nobody's business. Like I had no issue eating a bunch of chips or like just eating way too much food. Like it was just easy for me. And I didn't really feel like sometimes I had that control over food. Like I enjoyed food. I liked the taste of it. But over the years, I definitely went through periods of like just not buying those type of things. Like I would still wouldn't necessarily say I couldn't have those things, but I just wouldn't buy them and bring them in the house. So like, for example, if I went out to eat and there was like some chips and salsa there or something that I normally wouldn't buy in the house, I wouldn't tell myself that I couldn't have them. I just didn't necessarily buy those things all the time and have them around and easily accessible. So like, you don't necessarily have to go like 100% one way or the other. You can still have those things. And like now I'm in a place where like I'll buy some of those processed foods and I don't have an issue with overeating them. Like I can eat, I can have some Rice Krispies in my cupboard. I can have some candy in my cupboard or have ice cream sandwiches and I have to worry about crushing the whole box. So if you work at it a little bit, then you can get to a place where you don't necessarily have to eliminate all those things. But again, I think it just comes down to figuring out maybe what is going to work with you. Do a little bit of trial and error. If you do feel like you just have no control at all, maybe it is not a bad idea to get those things out of your diet or at least out of your house for a while and then maybe reintroduce them a little bit later. But if you feel like you're somebody maybe who can handle that moderate approach, then that also might be a solid way to go. Question number five, I think. This was actually a personal question that somebody had asked me on Instagram, so I thought that I would answer this one, throw this one in there. And it said, if you didn't play football in college, what sport would you have pursued? So a lot of people that know me know I played football in college. So I played at a super small private school. I was an offensive lineman, big old dude, 300 plus pounds, which is where the whole weight loss transformation came from. Always been big into football, always played football. But when I was in high school, I played five different sports with football, baseball, basketball, track, and then I even did a little bit of golf my senior year. And ever since, I think middle school, like sixth grade when I started playing sports, I just wanted to play as many sports as possible. And being that I was from a super small school, I could participate in many different sports. And that was just kind of the norm for most people. They would just play a bunch of sports all year round. And that's exactly what I did. I loved playing sports. I loved athletics. I loved the competition. I loved everything about sports. So I played a bunch of them in high school. And I always was probably the best at football, which is why I probably ended up playing football. Like I always got the most awards and just was best at that because I was big. And, you know, naturally my body just kind of fit more towards football. So that's what I ended up sticking with. I still love to play basketball and I still play it pretty regularly, like in rec leagues and pick up basketball and stuff like that, and really, really enjoy basketball. But obviously, I don't think I could have played much basketball in college because I'm only 6'2", so there's not a lot of room for a 6'2 post player in basketball. So probably would have had to been baseball, which oddly enough was my favorite sport throughout high school. I always really liked baseball because from like an athletic standpoint, you don't necessarily have to be the most athletic. You just have to be like pretty skilled and just fundamentally sound. And I always liked that I could just practice a little bit more and work on my skills and I could get better and better at baseball, like hitting. Like you look at baseball players and there's a lot of baseball players that aren't necessarily the most athletic. You see guys that are skinny. You see guys that are overweight. You see guys that are short, tall. Like there's just a huge, like an array of different types of athletes who can play baseball versus like something like basketball or like football. Like all those guys are pretty damn athletic. They're fast, they're agile, like they're pretty muscular, they're pretty ripped. But like in baseball, you have such a huge array. And I always thought that was really cool that you could be a good baseball player and you didn't necessarily have to be the best athlete. So probably would have to say that baseball would have been what I would have pursued if I did end up playing something else in college. But I'm glad I played football. Football was a lot of fun. I learned a ton from it. Enjoyed like just being around the whole team of, you know, huge team of football players. I made some of my best friends from playing football in college. I had some of my best memories doing that. So I definitely don't regret playing football, but would have been kind of interesting just to see how baseball could have went. But that is the answer to that. Just a little bit about me there. And the last question. So summer is coming up and I want to drop 10 to 15 pounds. What would you recommend? So this goes back to that, talked about this a little bit early, but when talking about the belly fat thing, just understanding like your expectations. I'm a big fan of doing a little bit more slow to moderate approach, even if you do have summer goals. And if you're listening to this right now, it's actually a pretty solid time to start thinking about going into a little cut, especially if you're only looking to lose like 10 to 15 pounds. Like this is a great time to do it because you have anywhere between like 8 to 12 weeks, depending on when you think about summer starting. Some people, you know, they don't consider it summer until like late June, but I think once June hits, that's summer to me. So this is a good time to start approaching that because you still have a good 8 to 12 weeks to hit those goals. So what I would recommend, first, understand probably about 1 to 2 pounds per week is a good range to shoot for. Obviously, you need to be in a calorie deficit. Talk about that all the time. So I would drop your calories probably between about 500 to 700 per day to put you in a nice calorie deficit to lose anywhere between 1 to 2 pounds per week. Obviously, you want to prioritize protein, which if you listen to this, you know that. If you are in a cut, I would suggest going for about 1 gram per pound of body weight. So if you weigh 175 pounds, you want to shoot for 175 grams of protein. When you're in a cut, you want to prioritize protein a little bit more than when you're just like trying to maintain or even bulk, just because when you are losing weight, when you're in a calorie deficit, you're going to lose a little bit of muscle. And by eating more protein, you're going to be able to hang on to more of that muscle, which is obviously a good thing and something that we want to do. So 1 gram per pound of body weight for protein when you are trying to cut. As far as workouts go, I would suggest working out anywhere between like 3 to 5 times per week. I always think that's a pretty solid range for people. And typically, I would say go for some strength workouts so you can focus on, again, maintaining or building a little bit of muscle throughout that time. When it comes to walking, I always suggest people get in 8,000 to 10,000 steps, which I think is something that is super underrated, especially for fat loss. Like if you're somebody who maybe just regularly gets like, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 steps, if you can up that a little bit to 10,000, you're going to burn a couple extra 100 calories every single day. And that adds up throughout the course of a week to help with that fat loss. So trying to prioritize getting in that 8,000 to 10,000 steps can be super helpful. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. If you can get out and go for a couple 40-minute walks throughout the day, or even just taking 10 to 15-minute walks multiple times throughout the day, just try to squeeze in some steps wherever you can and get that step count up, because it's going to help with dropping that fat. And then if you wanted to, like if you're really trying to, you know, make a little nice transformation before summer rolls around, you could even add in a little bit of cardio in there, 1 to 2 days of that if you wanted to do that. Nothing crazy, nothing drastic, because again, I'm not a huge fan of like crash diets, especially if you're like trying to lose, you know, 10 to 15 pounds before summer. If you go on a crash diet, you could for sure lose 10 to 15 pounds, but you're going to gain that back so quickly and you're not going to be able to maintain that throughout the summer. So I would suggest start now, use that little bit more slower to moderate approach. That way you can actually keep that weight off throughout most of the summer and keep a little bit leaner body, which I think a lot of people are looking to do. So hopefully that was helpful. You got a nugget or two out of that, wrapping this thing up. I do have a newsletter that I've been sending out for the past, I think, five, six, seven weeks now. It's just free newsletter. You can sign up. There's a link in the show notes, but basically it's just 5 fitness nuggets every single week that I'm sending out. So sometimes it's workouts, sometimes it's recipes, sometimes it's motivational quotes, sometimes it's interesting facts, podcasts and book recommendations, all types of just fitness stuff like that, because I know not everybody is obsessed with fitness or thinks about fitness as much as I do. So if I can send out a easy to understand, simple things that I think could be helpful or maybe motivational or maybe, you know, practical things that you could use in your everyday life, then I want to do that. So if you want that, 100% free, just go to the link, sign up, and you will get that every Thursday. But outside of that, that is all I have for this week, and we will see you next week.